Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of these, the least of these commandments, and so teaches others, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar, and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent."
You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery for her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, "Whoever sends away his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair turn white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything else beyond these is evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn him to the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
But if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Father, those of us who've been here some time really know what a gift Debbie is to us. And we just want to pray for her now. Lord, she's got a fantastic passage to speak about. I just want to pray that you'll reveal those things that are most relevant to each of us, that we may hear what you want to speak to us through Debbie this morning. We ask it in your name. And we pray for Debbie in all that she has to do. And we just bring her before you, Lord, our loving Father. Amen.
It's a big passage, isn't it? And Jesus' words are really challenging. You know, I read these kind of verses in the Bible, and then sometimes I think about people who say, usually people who don't really know very much about Jesus, but who say, oh yes, Jesus, he was an amazing teacher. You know, his teaching was some of the best teaching that there is in the world. And of course, that's true. But if you were listening to the reading this morning, as I was listening to the reading this morning, and it came to me afresh, and Jesus finishes this passage with those words, so be perfect. Be perfect. Like your heavenly Father is perfect. Like God himself is perfect. Be perfect. We might start to think, hang on a minute. Who's ever going to be able to live up to that? Who can really live up to these words? Who can actually do the things that Jesus is talking about here? Because he's getting right to the heart of human beings. And he's bringing that heart out into the light, and he's showing us how far away we are from the beautiful picture of who he is, who Jesus is. And we're going to think this morning and allow the Lord to kind of speak to our hearts, because our hearts matter as human beings. The heart matters, the inner life, the stuff that goes on in here and in here that generally most other people can't see unless we choose to let them into that. That is what matters. And that is what Jesus is addressing in these verses. And as I sort of continue to introduce this passage, I'm going to give us an opportunity at the end. Shelley, I'll let you do it because I'll throw them everywhere. Could you just take the lid off those? I've got here this little box of matchsticks. I thought I wouldn't give them out when the children were around in case these pews have got some ability to set fire. But what I'd like you to do is just pass them round and everybody take one. And then you, hopefully eventually the box will come back. And at the end, you don't have to, but I'm going to give an invitation at the end if you want to use them to respond. Because matches, generally, when they're struck, they light up and they bring light. And it is light in the inner places. It is light in our hearts. It's light in the hidden thoughts and feelings and decisions and motives that I'm praying this morning that the Lord wants to bring. That is what he wants to bring. That's what this message is all about. And if Jesus' words, as we've just heard them read, sound a bit heavy this morning, we've got to remember that they come riding on the back of last week. Because you'll know if you're here regularly that we're working our way through Matthew's gospel. And last week, it was a good week, wasn't it? Because it was all about blessing. Blessing, 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 blessing. The Beatitudes that Jesus gives. And he was speaking to his disciples whom he'd gathered on the mountain. People who were already saying they wanted to follow him. They wanted to belong to Jesus. They wanted to know more of his teaching. And he sat down with those disciples and he gave them a vision. A vision for a world where they could be the carriers of that kind of blessing into the most unlikely places. A vision of the world where they could be the light of the darkest places in our world. Where they could be salt that was helping with the corruption and the rot and the brokenness that the world is full of. And he was putting this vision before them. And I guess that's why, when we think about last week's passage and all Jesus' beautiful, encouraging, inspiring and visionary words, that's why he's got to start to get serious in the next few verses. Because if we want to be carriers of his light, and if we want to be carriers of his blessing, if we want to be the kind of shiny people that we let this passage start off with in verse 16, let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If we want to be those kind of shiny people who can bring light to a dark world, then Jesus is going to need to go on and address us in the way that he does with those following verses. He wants to get to the heart of the matter. Because the truth is, that verse, let your light shine before people so they'll see your good works, it finishes, and they will glorify, who? Your Father in heaven. And Jesus' aim in the words that follow, he wants us to remember who our Father is. He wants us to remember who our Father is. Relevant on Father's Day. He wants us to remember whose family we belong to. The family of the people of God. He wants us to live lives that are recognizable to other people as lives that look right and belong to the family of God, that fit with having a heavenly Father such as he is. He wants us to remember that, and Jesus is concerned that we will be recognizable as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And you see, those guys that he was talking to at the time in the passage, they were Jewish people, and they had an understanding that they were the people of God, that they were part of God's family, but their understanding came, their identity came very strongly from their race, the fact that they were born into that certain race, but also from the fact that they had a special law, the law of Moses, the law of the Old Testament, and they valued that law, and they understood that that law was important to them in shaping their identity, because these were God's words to his people, to his family, to help them to live in the sort of a way that would make them look recognizable. Not just as all the other nations of the earth live, but recognizable as people who follow their Father in heaven. And so Jesus was talking to those guys because he wanted them to realize that even though they were born into the right race to be called the people of God, and even though they had all the right laws, and some of them were even trying really, really hard to live by them, that none of that stuff was ever going to be enough to fully reflect the beautiful, perfect heart of God's character, of our Father in heaven. We need something more. We need something supernatural. We need something heavenly. Trying to do the right thing isn't going to happen, isn't going to work, isn't going to cut it. And that's Jesus' message for us. I want you just for a moment to turn to the person next to you and tell them one thing about Jesus that you love or you admire. One good thing that you know about him, that you've seen in him, that you love or you admire. Even if you don't know Jesus very well this morning, just have a think about it. What you do know of him, one good thing, just tell your person next to you. One beautiful thing about Jesus. What do you love? What do you admire? Okay, let's hear a few of them then. Do you want to shout out? You can call out what you said or what your person next to you said. What's beautiful about Jesus? What do we admire about Jesus? He loved being with all sorts of people, children, women, men, anybody. He loved people. He loves being with his people and he's always available to us. What else do we love about Jesus? Yeah. He notices people who no one else notices. He leaves the 99 and he goes out after the lost sheep. Yeah. He wasn't afraid. Yeah, he wasn't afraid to be different from everyone around him, to be countercultural. He loves to be really, really close to us, intimate with us. Jesus' patience. Yeah, we need to remember that one, don't we? He's always there when we need him, when we want him. He listens, Val, so he listens to us. He loves us. He's got compassion for us. Even when we're broken, even when we're a bit of a mess, he still wants us to be close to him. Beautiful. He's a king. He has all that glory, and yet he serves others. He's humble. And I know that we could go on and we could do this for the rest of the morning, but I wanted us to capture those things in our hearts and our minds, because Jesus is beautiful, and he's also full of integrity. He's like a stick of rock, isn't he? So if you cut right the way through Jesus, you wouldn't find that he's something different on the inside. He's beautiful in all of these ways. He's beautiful in all of his encounters, but he is beautiful through and through. There's no pretense with Jesus, no masks. He's not pretending to be nice to his people. He's not pretending to tolerate us. He's not gritting his teeth and being patient with us. He actually is all of those things right the way through to the very core of his being. And as such, he is so different from the way we find ourselves to be as human beings a lot of the time. Have you noticed how we want to be those good things that we've just seen in Jesus? We want to be all of that, but somehow inside we know we're not. Somehow inside we know we don't measure up. And so what we tend to do is we try and find a way to put on a good outward show. To sort of put up something out there that presents ourselves in such a way that maybe everybody else will just about be fooled, that if you cut through us like a stick of rock, you wouldn't find all the messy bits that we know are really in there. And this is what Jesus is tackling when he speaks these words, when he gives us this difficult message. Some of these words are difficult this morning. They're difficult to receive. But what he's attacking is this disconnect, is this difference, this distinction, this separation between what we present outwardly about who we are and our lives and our righteousness and whether we're good people or not, and what's really going on in the hidden places. What's there underneath? What's there in the places where most people can't see? And we so love, don't we, to try to put on a good show. And sometimes we do it so well that we even start believing our own propaganda about ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? We even start believing that we really are the really excellent, great people that we know we can be for at least a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, or at least a couple of hours doing house group on a Wednesday, or whatever it is. We believe, we sometimes kid ourselves that we really are that deep down inside. And then that's when we start to get angry with the people around us, when sometimes they knock against us and they disturb the equilibrium of that outward show that we're putting up. And something spills out of us that we're embarrassed by, that we're ashamed of, and we say things to each other like, oh, you bring out the worst in me. Oh, I don't like being around you because you make me into this person that I don't want to be. Ever thought that? Ever said that about other people? But we know really we're just believing our own propaganda when we say that. The truth is we're not all that we want to be. Our hearts are not always in the right place. But you know, the good news for us this morning is that Jesus is in the business of transforming hearts. He is in the business of changing hearts, of transforming lives. And do you know what? This morning, whoever you are and whatever is hidden in there this morning that you think most other people don't really know about, the truth of the matter is your heart is not beyond him. It's not beyond his reach. It's not beyond his transformation. He is the master heart remaker. And whatever is in your heart, his blood that he shed for you on the cross is enough to cleanse it, enough to remove it, enough to wash it, enough to renew it, enough to make it whole, if we'll just let him. I was thinking about some beautiful verses that we read that Paul says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 6. Just one verse, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' he is the one who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," when he created the world, he is the one who has shone into our hearts with that same light. And he gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We start to become more glorious like him in the face of Jesus Christ. As we let the light of God shine into us, and Jesus says, you've got to be the light of the world. You've got to be shiny people. So you're going to need my light to shine in to that dark, hidden place. But as it does, the imprint of the face of Christ starts to be worked in our hearts, in our inner life, in our inner being. We start to find that the light is leaving behind an impression of the character of Jesus. And all of a sudden, right from the core, from the places in us that we usually want to hide away and that we're ashamed of, Jesus said, my light can come blazing forth. My face can come shining out. Jesus can be seen coming through from you guys, human beings, ordinary people like you and me. And that is the miracle that will transform this world. That is the miracle that the world needs. Its hearts with the face of Christ shone deep into them, so that what shines out and what shines forth is all the blessing and the beauty of the character of God that we've just been reminding ourselves about this morning. And you know, light is a powerful agent. It's a powerful thing. A photograph is light that leaves an imprint on a sensitive surface. And our hearts can be that surface. As the light of God shines, the imprint of Christ can be left inside of us to shine forth. I was thinking about the power of light, and particularly sunlight, and I was reminded of a friend of mine years and years ago when we were at university, and he was a bit of a drinker. And he'd been out with some friends the night before, and he'd had too many beers, or the day before, and he'd had too many beers. And he'd fallen asleep in the daytime underneath the outdoor pub table, and in a very hot, blazing, sunny day. And he probably wouldn't have told everybody that this is what had happened to him, but he couldn't really hide it, because the next day he opened the door and he had these stripes, like zebra stripes, very thin stripes of sunburn, pink, across his face, really, really visible, really distinct, because as he lay under that table, the sun was going through the slats of the wood, and it kind of served him right a little bit, didn't it? But it was an embarrassment to him. But the power of light, isn't it? It leaves an impression. It leaves its mark. And if we will get our hearts, messy as they are, if we will get them into the shining light of God, if we will let him shine on us, we will find the imprint, the mark of his Christ, of his character, shining forth from us into the world around. But the trouble is, we try to deal with our hearts in a different way, not by letting the light shine in, but by covering them up, putting on a good show. And Jesus, in these words, he is contrasting for us the life that starts in the heart, the Jesus life, and the legalistic life that relies on a cover-up. And this morning, I want us to get radical about the cover-ups that we rely on, because Jesus wants to change our hearts. Look at verse 20. Jesus says, I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. We've got to have a deeper kind of righteousness. We've got to have a deeper kind of life, said Jesus. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus was referring to the fact that it was all about kind of covering up who they really were with the law. Getting hold of the law and doing it really visibly, putting it out there on the outside and trying to hide the fact that inside our hearts we're in a different kind of place. And you know, we as Christians, we can do the same. We can live the legalistic life. We can get hung up on the rules and the do's and the don'ts of what God is saying. And those are important, Jesus is going to go on to say. But we can get hung up on putting those things out there and not be bothered enough about the fact our heart needs some more light. It needs some more light because it's not in the same place as all the things we're putting on the outside. Jesus was not saying that the laws that Moses gave to his people were unimportant. He makes that so clear, verse 17. Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. Don't think I'm saying it's unimportant. I didn't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, says Jesus. I am the fulfillment of those laws, and it is me you need to shine into your heart, because the law on its own will not change a heart. The law on its own will not change a life. The law on its own cannot produce the life of Jesus in you. The right behaviors, the right Christian behaviors, cannot produce in you on their own the light of God that shines forth with the face of Christ. That's what God is after. There's no life in law, you see. You know, when you think about your physical life, I could give you a whole set of laws, couldn't I, that would stop us from dying or would prolong our lives. And I could give you loads. I mean, we could say number one, law number one for life. Don't hold your head under water for more than 2 minutes. Because you won't be alive anymore, potentially. Number two, make sure you eat healthy foods, and that will keep your body functioning well and healthily for as long as possible. It's good law, isn't it? Number three, don't eat poisonous mushrooms, because that will end up badly. You know, there's loads of laws we can give, aren't there, that are all to do with life and prolonging life and making life possible. Number four, do drink plenty of clean water. And so on. But these rules in themselves, they are not life, are they? And if you spent your whole life thinking about those things that I've just said and millions of others that we could think of, and trying to do those with all the energy that we have, that is not life, is it? That isn't life. If all the time we're just thinking about not holding our head under the water and only eating the healthy foods and so on, that in itself is not life. These rules do not give life. They are what enable you to have life, but the life itself comes from somewhere else. It comes from those heavenly rays of God's light shining into your existence so that you experience the glory and the beauty and the goodness of relationship with God and right relationship with one another and the blessing that starts to spring up and burst up when you live in that kind of a calling. It is not reducible to a list of do's and don'ts. We've got to look for the life from God himself. We've got to look for the life from Jesus himself, because he wants to pour his beauty and his character into us. These laws will give us a shape and a definition and boundaries for our existence, but the existence itself we've got to cry out to God for. So it's good if you've got some laws in your life. It's good if you're trying to obey the things that Jesus says here. But when you realize that you're falling short, and when you realize that it's not all going in the right direction, and when you realize that your heart looks different from what you want to present on the outside, we've got to get on our knees again and say, Lord, shine your light on me. Forgive me. Transform me. Cleanse me. Renew me. Do something in my heart. And it's vitally important, because once that light is in us, we can shine it out to the world around. And I want to just mention three things before we close. Three challenges that Jesus presents to us that helps us to discard the kind of cover-up legalistic life, the cover-up of the law, and get the light in so that our hearts can really change, that we can be the beautiful people that we see Christ is, and that we can make sure others will give glory to our Father in heaven because they see something different about the family of God, his true children. He's challenging the disconnect of the inner life and the outer. And as we look at these three things, Jesus uses examples from the Old Testament law to paint his picture of the kind of life that God is after. And he also uses kind of what's known as Hebrew hyperbole, Hebrew strong language, extreme language at times. And he's doing that to make his points hit home. He's doing that to show how vital, how necessary it is that there is a change in our hearts. And he also does it to stop us from trying to take his words and make them into little rule books for our lives and thinking that that will be enough. You know, so long as I don't say the word raca to anyone, or so long as I don't call anyone a fool, I must be a really good person. I must be shining out all the light of Jesus. No, we can't live like that. It goes deeper. It's got to get deeper. And Jesus wants us to understand that. So if we read the words and they sometimes seem out of reach to us, he's saying they are out of reach, but not when my Holy Spirit comes, shines light on you. Then you'll find the face of Christ shines out. So number one, Jesus is challenging us that outward sin starts inside. And he just brings these two examples. The outward sin of murder, well, that begins in your heart. So it's no good saying, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person because I haven't murdered anybody recently. It starts in your heart with the anger, with the hatred, with the resentment, the unforgiveness that lurks in those places. And it's got to be dealt with, says Jesus. He uses the example of adultery and says, well, you know, you can't think you're doing okay just because you haven't been unfaithful to your partner. The point is that in your heart, there's lust. In your heart, there's unclean thoughts. In your heart, there are wayward thoughts, thoughts that make you want to stray from the commitments that you've made. And we've got to take those seriously, because when we just let them dwell inside and when we say, well, I'm okay because I haven't done those outward things, Jesus says, but that's the cover-up life. And I'm looking for the heart change. Come on, let me get inside, because then the light can break forth and pour forth from you. And Jesus can deal with hearts that are full of anger, that are full of resentment, that are full of unforgiveness. Steve mentioned the word earlier that there are perhaps there are people who have those feelings rising up within when we think about Father's Day, when we think about parents. Jesus can deal with the stuff that lurks in our hearts. He can deal with the unclean thoughts. He can deal with the things that don't show outwardly yet, but we know reside within. And he wants to, because he wants his light to shine from you. Second challenge. Jesus says, well, you know, outward righteousness, that's not enough either, because that can just be hiding all sorts of sin that is there inside. And he brings two examples for that one. He brings the examples about divorce and taking oaths, because both of those things were in the law of Moses. They were permitted in the law of Moses, and it would be all right to kind of say to yourself, well, you know, I mean, I'm doing these things and they're in the law, so I must be a righteous person. But we're using the law there to justify ourselves, to hide in our hearts the fact that our hearts have wandered away. Because God is after commitment, because God is after love, because God is after perseverance, because God is after forgiveness, because God is after loyalty in our relationships together. That's what he wants for the family of God. He wants us to express those things. And so when we lean on the cover-up of the law and we say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm being a righteous person because I've got all these law-looking things in place, he says, but look what they're hiding. underneath. Let me get to the heart. Don't put up that screen because it's getting in the way. Let me get to the heart. Let me get to the transformation. Let me get to the change that is necessary. You know, oaths, particularly in Jesus' day, they were used mostly to kind of confirm that you were telling the truth. Well, I swear it. I swear I'm telling the truth. You know, and in a community where we mistrust one another's words, where we don't trust each other's integrity, where we think there are lies going on, we doubt each other are telling the truth. That's when you need those oaths to be invoked. And Jesus is saying, but I'm after something better than that. Yes, there are oaths in the law. There are rules for taking them. But don't rely on that. Don't put that as your cover-up. The point is, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Make statements that are full of integrity. Have a community life together where we can trust what we say, where we're not saying one thing to somebody's face and something else behind their backs, where what we say is the truth and is full of truth, and we don't lie and we don't put falsities into the things that we're communicating to one another, and we don't dress it up in some sort of way. And Jesus is saying we need a community like that, because that is a community where real love and trust and relationships are happening, and it's the kind of community the world needs, where we can trust, where we're not all the time cynical about everything somebody stands up and says when the politicians wax lyrical and we're all sitting there in our hearts going, yeah, right, whatever, another bunch of promises. That's the kind of world Jesus is not after. He wants us to have a community of God's people, God's family, who act different from that, who when they say they're going to do something, they follow through and they do it. And we've got to be the people who shine out something better. Don't rely on the oaths to make you sound convincing. Have the truth and the conviction of truth in your heart, and that will shine forth, says Jesus. And that's the kind of community that I'm looking for. Don't rely on the cover-up. Let me get into your heart and put integrity there. Final challenge. Jesus says, even an outward hostility, an outward show of hostility, can provoke an inner compassion. And it seems totally upside down, doesn't it? If somebody's hostile towards you, well, the most natural thing in the world is to react with hostility, to react by pushing them away, to react in anger. But again, Jesus is talking to the family of God. He's talking to the community of God's people, and he's trying to get them to live beyond the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And he uses those examples from the Old Testament. Love your neighbor, but inferred, hate your enemy. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Leaping immediately on the demanding our rights when somebody hurts us divides relationship. And this is a difficult one in the culture we live in today, isn't it? Because as soon as somebody hurts us, we look for compensation. We're looking for recompense. We're looking for payback. We're looking to get our rights understood and met and held up and upheld. And it's not that those things aren't important to Jesus, but what he's saying is, in my community, I want there to be a love that goes deeper than that. Where somebody hurts you and your immediate response is not to divide the relationship further by pushing them away in hostility, but that somehow what is evoked from within is a deeper love, a deeper compassion, a mercy that can flow forth to them so that relationship has a possibility of being restored. Will it always be restored? No, probably not. Because it takes both parties to want that. But Jesus is looking for a community who don't just fall back on, well, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they said that, so this is my right to do this. And we push one another away. And we divide in the people of God. And we hang out with the people that we really like. We love our friends. We love the ones who are close to us. We love the ones that, you know, are natural for us to hang out with. But that person over there who offends me slightly, I'll just keep away from them. I'll just push them a little bit further away. Instead of letting that compassion, that mercy, that desire for love and relationship to come welling up from within, that's what Jesus found. as he stretched out his arms on the cross. And he was able to say for those soldiers who were banging the nails through his hands, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And love flowed forth. And it's a different sort of love. Jesus reminds us the world knows how to love its own. The world knows how to love the people who are nice to them. There's nothing precious about that. Love the ones who are difficult to love. Love the ones who are showing you hostility. Love the ones who are acting in a way that hurts you, because that love can win them. Not human love, the love that comes from heaven. Not love that you derive from obeying a few laws here and there. That love's not powerful enough. But the love that comes from throwing open our hearts to the light of God to shine in and imprint the face of Christ in there. That kind of love can reach across and take an enemy and cause him to realize his issues and his problems and his sin and fall on his knees in repentance and find redemption and find a change in his life. We need the kind of love that crosses those barriers. Otherwise, we won't see more Nicky Cruises coming into the kingdom, like that wonderful story of David Wilkerson, who confronted with a New York gang leader who had killed many, many people in his life. The pastor looked at him and said, "You know what? You want to kill me right now, but Jesus loves you, and even if you cut me into 1,000 pieces, every piece will still be telling you God loves you, God loves you, God loves you." And the message of that love got into this murderous man's heart and life and so transformed him that today he's still preaching the gospel and the salvation power of Jesus all across America. He's got a huge ministry. He's seen many hearts turn to the Lord, because love can change hearts. It can get to the root of the matter. And you might think that that is a world away from the person offended you and upset you last week and the love that you need to show to them, but it isn't. Jesus says it starts there. It's in your heart. And let my love get in, let my light get in, because then the world is going to be blazing with light that shines from people who are full of light. And that's the Jesus life. The Jesus life of love and light, the inner life that has been allowed the light in and has allowed God to change it, is better than the law, it's better than the cover-up. Let's not rely on those things anymore. Just because it looks good on the outside, says Jesus, let me get to the heart. And that's where I want us to finish now and just have a few minutes to respond.